You're listening to Around Comics, episode 163.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable. I'm Christopher Neitzman, and let me introduce you to today's New Year's panel. This is the special New Year's panel?
I guess, sure.
Crazy
not?
Fucking magic time.
Do something.
Well, first of all, sitting in for Mr. Tom Caters is longtime friend of the show and inker, writer, creator extraordinaire, Mr. Andy Parks.
Ooh, yeah. Yes, sir.
I built you up.
You were extraordinary.
Sitting in for Tom, that's big.
Yeah.
I have to be a smart ass.
Well, does the seat, does it give off some special funny vibe?
I'm feeling a little hatred.
So, yeah. Oh, Scott, he's in your seat.
Damn it! I knew something felt fucked up here tonight.
Mr. Scotty Young, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, because I got some kick-ass presents this year.
For Christmas.
What'd you get?
I got a DVD with 50 years of Mad Magazine on it.
Oh, I have that.
Do you have it?
Yeah,
it is. Mad Magazine, for anybody who doesn't know, is my beginnings. Before I ever knew what comic books were, I used my paper route money. Yep, and that's not a fucking clue. I mean, I'm not using that as a metaphor. I was a fucking paper boy. It was the worst job
ever. In the snow.
In the fucking snow in Illinois.
Did you make your mom roll up the papers for you?
No, I had to do it all. I got up at 4 o'clock every fucking morning for 4 years.
Was the Mad DVD?
Oh, I was getting ready to go into a tailspin.
This one bitch never paid.
Yes. But the Mad thing, it's so fucking sweet. It's just one disc.
So it's on DVD now?
It's a DVD.
In the Dark Ages when I bought it was like 8 CDs.
This is a DVD-ROM. It's just cool. A DVD-ROM for your computer. One disc has every issue from the 50s up until now, or the 2000s.
That's pretty awesome.
And a good searchable archive.
Oh, really?
You can type in Wally Wood or Super Duper Man or whatever.
It is incredible. Separated by year, then by month. It's hands down one of the coolest things ever. Mad Magazine's, to me, what started me learning how to draw.
Sure.
It was funny as fuck. I mean, everything their spoofs on movies were just hilarious. And even when I read them as a kid, they were funny to me. They're even funnier now because I understand, where they were taking shots at, like, oh, look at the story here. There's all these type of holes here. And as a kid, I'm just like, ha ha ha. I didn't know what I was reading. And now I'm like, oh god, they're so fucking dead on.
Mad is historically significant in comics. I mean, they were able to do things that the Comics Code was never going to allow because it was a magazine, and that's why you saw guys like Wally Wood working.
Right.
You know, the whole collapse of EC Comics gains kind of what that happened, because Mad was the
go back and
the
listen
ace.
To our EC Comics 101, and you'll find all that out
exactly.
But so that was
how long has Mort Drucker been excellent?
Oh,
you know, 30
awesome.
Years? Jesus Christ,
just awesome. So I got that, and. Something similar, the Schultz biography. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, cool.
The guy from Hogan's Heroes?
Yeah, that's the
Schultz.
One. The Peanuts.
Fascinating life.
I got that. So, and then a couple other little Mad Magazine collections. But
nice.
Yeah, that was my favorite shit. Oh, and that Blade Runner thing. Five discs.
Ooh.
It's like five versions of the movie. I don't really like Blade Runner that much.
Well, that's what I was saying.
But I wanted it.
I'm not that big
I like
of a
stuff
fan.
that comes in a lot of discs.
You just
I like the movie. I agree with my buddy Phil Hester, who said I piss on any version that ends with him being a replicant, because that's bullshit.
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever actually seen the entire film ever.
I think I'm with you a little bit.
I've fallen asleep on it like three times, I think.
I love it.
You know what?
Love it.
Which is weird.
There's going to be our commentary. Our first commentary is Blade Runner.
All right.
All five versions.
The end of the commentary.
Five-hour episode. Look forward to that.
It'd be 10. It should be everything. It's noir. detective story, sci-fi. You know, it should be everything that I like.
Dystopian.
But for some reason, I just have never gotten into that film.
Well, Sal, it's very cerebral.
Yes. I mean,
it's a thinking man's film.
Sure, sure. It's
kinda... We need to have Andy on the panel more often. Mr. Salazar, I have an
interview. Chris is just excited because somebody was snuck, but he's like, oh, he's helping me. Somebody's helping me.
Finally, someone not making fun of Chris, making fun of other people.
Finally, in the knife fight, has finally given me a Swiss Army blade.
He's got
something.
Your back. Yes, I had a very tiring Christmas. My two children enjoyed themselves very much. But I'm glad it's over. Yeah. But it was good. I got a couple of cool things. My sister bought me, it's DC Golden Age 365. It's sort of it's almost like a calendar, but it's just this big, thick tome.
With like every day?
And every day of a year, and they give you a panel from one comic from the Golden Age. And then they give you a little
awesome
description.
Geeky.
Yeah,
that's
real
awesome,
super
though.
Geeky. So that was kind of
isn't it funny, like our presence is here, like, oh my God, I got Mad Magazine and a DC calendar. It's awesome.
What else we get? I don't know. I got my GPS unit, which
I got a clutch belt buckle. Now go, your turn again.
Jesus Christ.
It says clutch on him for my favorite band.
I don't think I got anything that cool.
That's pretty sweet.
I got a number one dad pen for my kids.
Oh.
Why are you gonna make me
Sal
cry?
Sal went. Yeah.
Sal's gonna make me cry on the show.
Put the clutch belt buckle.
Did they buy that at school when they take $3 to buy gifts?
I don't know
for
where they. I don't know where they got it from. Maybe that might have been where they got it from. Some shirts. I don't know. I got this shirt that I'm wearing right now.
Ooh, a fleecy.
Yeah,
it's very lovely.
Yeah, thank you. Wonderful. That's about it. But I had a really good Christmas. It was fun but exhausting.
It is exhausting, isn't it?
And my kids got.
What are the ages
so
on the kids?
5 and 2.
Oh man.
And.
That's exciting, and
so your daughter at five, she's probably pretty cool with Christmas. I mean, she's not like
she's super
it's not
excited.
Mayhem for her yet.
No, she was great. She got up at like 7:30, woke us up, really excited. Santa had come, and you know, and it's a lot of fun to go through their eyes. You know, like
did you leave the cookies?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Left cookies and carrots.
I'm in charge of the reindeers. My 5-year-old niece. I'm in charge of the cookie plate with her. She says I have to boss her around.
Did Santa leave a note? In your house?
No, didn't
we do
Santa?
No.
We write a note to Santa, and then Santa leaves
a note
back. And then Santa Mouse
idea.
Leaves his little paw print.
Santa Mouse.
Yes,
that's communist.
Who's Santa Mouse?
There's a great book that I read every year as a kid called Santa Mouse. It's about how Santa finds this little mouse who's all alone, and he becomes Santa's helper.
Oh,
so you have to leave a piece of cheese for Santa Mouse.
We left,
and then he leaves a present with a yellow bow on it on the tree.
I'm going to bite his rhymes. I'm going to do that with my niece next.
We left carrots for the reindeers.
Yes.
And then oats for them also.
Oh, wow. That's inventive.
I was in the yard, my daughter.
Now, do you leave cookies for Santa?
Whoa. The oats are in the yard?
In the yard, yeah, in the front yard.
Okay. So Santa eats the cheese and the cookies and all that in the house. Who eats? I mean, what happens
to
the oats in the yard?
I don't know.
Let me ask you
in the morning, inspecting.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Question, sir.
Yes.
With the cookies.
Yes.
That you leave for Santa and milk, correct?
Yes.
What do you do with those then?
I ate them.
You eat. You
Santa
actually eat the cookies.
Them.
Santa.
I didn't eat them all because there's like three.
Okay,
of them.
But do you prepare the plate at all? Yeah, what
absolutely.
Does the plate look like in the morning and the milk?
It's got crumbs,
a few crumbs,
and there's a little bit of milk left in the glass
with crumbs in the milk.
Oh, in the milk?
Ooh. Yeah, baby.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I take all a little piece, I crumble it in the milk for justice, and I put it in the milk. That's
right,
even more convincing
because
it falls off his beard.
Do you find you have a hard time convincing her?
Oh, hell no.
Santa?
She walked up to
Does
me.
Does she need that much?
Well, last year was the first year that we were going to make her go to bed as soon as we got home on Christmas Eve. So I had to – it was the kind of first year she understood at four,
right?
It's four that you could
– Yeah.
And so I had to – I told her about the cookie deal and the note deal or whatever. And so – and I helped her with it. And we did it. And so a year later, she came up to me during the day at my family's house and said – hey, Scotty, you and me are in charge of the cookie plate. Now, we're at a Christmas party, so there's 25 cookie plates, and I'm thinking like, yeah, you know what you do in a 5-year-old. Okay, yeah, we're in charge
of
the cookie plate.
We'll take care of it.
Which plate?
Yeah.
The one for Santa. And I'm like, oh, she remembers, and she remembered that I did it and whatever. So it's the extra touches.
Yeah,
she'll probably believe in Santa until she's, I don't know, 16 because of the crumbs in the milk. You can't fuck with that kind of creativity.
A good thing.
I know on iTunes there's a little explicit bar.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a bar that says Andy's kids can't listen to this?
There is now.
Spoilers? We should have given this spoiler.
Merry fucking Christmas, kids.
My 9-year-old is clinging.
Oh,
Andy,
no.
Andy, if your kids listen to this podcast,
the least of FS
needs to be called anyway.
But no, my daughter was really excited and she had a blast. She did have the inevitable letdown after all the presents were opened. That was the first time.
That probably means you guys failed at the gifts you got her, probably.
Could be. My son didn't care. He just wanted to open stuff. He didn't even care what was in them.
Does he have a favorite thing yet?
Oh, his skateboard.
He's two, right?
Yeah, he's two. His skateboard is his favorite thing in the world.
What does he do with his skateboard?
He tries to do tricks. He stands on it. He flips it up with his foot.
I'm going to be teaching
him. He's insane. He loves skateboarding, and his skateboard is his favorite thing in the world. He sleeps with it.
Is he closer to two or three?
Two. Closer. Yeah, he won't be three until September.
My nephew is almost three.
Jack's crazy.
And anything that has the McQueen character from Cars.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it's red. Lightning.
My kids dig the Lightning McQueen. My son's right now is on a Doodle Bops kick.
Oh. I don't know what the fuck Doodle Bops is.
I'm very open-minded about shows. We have the satellite TV and there's lots of kids' channels. I'm very open-minded. I sit through everything. Doodle Bops are not fucking allowed in my house. And my kids are not allowed to watch it because they're creepy.
They are creepy. They're weird. I don't like Bus Driver Bob. He bothers me. I never got that far. Pedophilia, I'm thinking.
That reminds me of something like that one of the kids that would sit on Santa's lap and Bad Santa would ask for, and Billy Bob Thornton would be like, what the fuck is that, kid?
I don't know. It was Barney, then it's Doodle Bops. Right. I don't know. But he is big into the cars.
Did your daughter ever love the Dora?
Now she's on to like Bratz and High School Musical.
Yep. Justices.
Are you allowing the Bratz?
Justices and the Bratz.
Because they were a little whorish for our.
My niece wants to be a whore,
but I can't stop people from buying her the crap.
Well, we laid that down. No Bratz. But then they came out of the Bratz babies and they were not quite so
not
whorish.
As whorish.
Poor babies.
Yeah. They are horrible.
Not
poor
babies. Leather
I don't like the Bratz at all. And I've gotten rid of Bratz stuff. Her grandmother just bought her a Bratz television, though.
Right.
And I don't like it, but I'm losing
what
the
you
battle.
What are you going to do?
Well,
what are you going to do? You know,
I don't.
We actually might.
Girls will be whores. I mean,
thanks, Scotty. Jesus.
But honestly, my niece.
If the world, if everything works out the way you want
it. Because my niece got the Bratz shit. I agree with you guys. I thought, why are you guys buying her slut material?
It is. I mean,
slut contraband.
It's horrible. I don't like it.
Fight the power.
We held out on Barbies. My wife successfully brainwashed my daughter that by the time she started getting Barbies, my daughter was like, no, they're too skinny. We don't really like them.
Oh, wow. You're pushing that. See, I can't.
How old is your kid?
She's nine.
Nine. Does she draw at all?
Oh, a lot.
Good?
Yeah. She's.
This was the first thing that I've seen.
You think Andy actually inks? Hell no. He's got his kids doing it.
My dad was artistic. I am awesome at art. And,
as we all know.
Yeah, awesome. Yes. And now my 5-year-old
niece. I would have never known it if I didn't meet you, though.
Yes, you would. One day your mind would be able to wrap around the shit that I put
on
awesomeness.
Paper.
Yeah. My 5-year-old niece now, it's wild because she's always drawn, and she's always drawn a little bit more advanced than she was at her age. But still, it's just kid stuff.
Right.
But this year was the first year she opened up a Barbie, and she sat it on the table – and was drawing it, was copying it. And I haven't seen kids do that very often besides me. And so she's probably going to be really awesome.
Nice.
Well, you know what else is awesome?
Yeah, I think my daughter does that.
The club is awesome.
Oh, Jesus. Going back to who?
Why are you fucking up my role, Chris, with your segues?
If you aren't already aware, each month one of the panel members picks a CD, a DVD, and a trade paperback for the rest of the panel to review, and hopefully you play along at home. And this month was Tom's turn, and he picked the CD Hour of the Bewilderbeast by Badly Drawn Boy. He picked the movie Safe Men, and his trade paperback is the Grant Morrison Frank Quitely We Three. And that makes this a great time.
Safe Men. Mm-hmm. Starring Sam Rockwell,
Steve Zahn,
and Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
I never heard of such a thing.
I know, neither did I. Tom
well, if
it.
You'd listened to Around Comics in the last
behind,
3 weeks,
you turned on to that kind of
thing. I haven't been working hard enough. That's when I listen.
Can I say this is probably the best hot chocolate stick I've ever
incredible.
Had?
It is incredible.
In my entire life.
I get one. He gets me one every week.
It's phenomenal.
Well, you know what I did this week just for you, Scotty?
What did you do?
Normally I have it made with the 2% milk. Yeah. This week I went whole milk.
Whole milk.
Oh.
I don't know the difference, but thank you.
You getting fatter.
And I asked the guy to make it with love. He took it in the back for a minute.
Hey.
Said he made it extra special for you.
It's all skin in the end, brother. What are you
going
to do?
Where are we going
tell,
now?
Yeah, tell us about some.
So that makes
segue.
Tell them about
segue on that.
Speaking
you
of gay man
awesome?
Sex love, this episode is sponsored by
InStockTrades.com.
Nice.
I'm so sorry, Cameron.
InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, We Three, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 35% off the cover price. Get your copy today for only $8.44. Check out the Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely series that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution called startling, disturbing, and perhaps enlightening.
Enlightening.
A provocative tale. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free.
And we need some kind of jingle like InStockTrades.com.
There you go.
Like Menards or something. Yeah.
No.
You got
to
capture it. It's done.
Save
no,
I actually money just got at the, Menards I got, and InStockTrades.
I got the Fantastic Four Omnibus Volume 2 from InStockTrades last week.
So. Crazy talk. That's crazy.
I got dive into that. I got a box waiting for me at home right now.
All right.
All sorts of good stuff.
Well, folks, just about every podcast and news site and whatever else does their best of 2007 this time of year. It's the traditional time to look back over the last 12 months and talk about what you liked, what you didn't like. We're going to do a little variation on that. We're just going to talk about the favorite stuff that we read in the past year. It doesn't necessarily have to have come out in 2007. Like me, I started my quest for reading Alan Moore, so I've got some Alan Moore stuff that has been out for a while.
Yeah, whatever happened to the year of Alan Moore?
I'm still doing
it. Been over, right?
Yeah.
2 years ago.
It ends tomorrow.
It's like 16
I forget,
months.
Did you get to From Hell yet or not?
I am getting through From Hell in
that was a 3 months.
What are you saying? It's dense?
It's a little dense.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually into the second volume of Tom Strong. I'm done with Prometheus.
It's a cerebral book. It's a thinking man's
comic. Don't worry
comic.
About it, Sal. Yeah. Others enjoy it.
I've read it.
Hopefully get through it in 2008.
So that's the problem, annotated though. Copy.
I think it's tough to be reading From Hell and then slip in a couple Tom Strongs. I mean, you gotta focus.
You got to be dedicated.
They don't know about focus, man.
Yeah.
Look at that stack. He read that today.
I did, on the train. On the train.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk about what you two Jokers have done this year in the comics world.
Whoa.
But we can hopefully – don't spill the hot cocoa.
I did, man.
Careful,
I filled
man.
It off. I killed the fucking
We talked
cup.
About his cocoa. I just want to say that I'm about to taste for the first time Jose Cuervo Black. Are they a sponsor by any chance?
They could be.
They could be.
This episode
throw up a few
brought
times
to you by.
On.
Yeah, we're for Braxton Harrison. We're still getting through the treasure chest of booze you sent last
God
week.
God bless you.
Brax attacks.
I added some Kahlua to my hot cocoa. Made
Fuck
it that much better.
Problems.
So, how is it, Andy?
Here we go.
All right.
Cuervo Black.
What
when tequila
like?
Isn't just enough.
Does it taste like gasoline?
You need to pour in a little whiskey.
Is that what it is? Is it whiskey?
It does taste. It tastes like whiskeyla.
Whiskeyla. That's like a new Steak and Shake. They got like binoculate shakes.
No, it's whiskey.
This is definitely killing germs. So anybody wants a taste?
Well, that's interesting.
I give it a livers up.
Nope. All right. It's
I don't drink liquor.
All right, guys.
Pussy.
People love the sound effect. Do we want to introduce this as a top of the stack? People love the sound effect.
It's not top.
You have letters stating that?
Is it?
Well, yeah, we got
were throwing some movies and stuff too, right? We're not.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody really warned me about this. I don't have any books prepared.
I found out about it like last.
They picked me up for the show tonight at 6, and I think you told me about 5:30. Oh, this is a year in review show. Oh, awesome.
Be ready.
You've been around this year. You're plugged in. You're in the know.
Yeah, I don't think I enjoyed everything, though. Can we talk about stuff we didn't enjoy?
No.
Stupid.
Scotty McScrooge, didn't you learn from...
Yeah, Christmas is over, motherfucker. It's back on.
Come on, where's the British accent?
Oh, God, no.
No.
I think you might do a worse British accent than me. It was pretty
good.
That
was good.
It was Scottish, British, Irish.
Hey, you know what? Because it's a melting pot here in America.
So who'd like to start with one of your favorite reads or movies or books or
what did I read?
TV shows?
What did I read that I really liked that you guys remember? Trades.
Nothing.
The first eight volumes of Preacher?
No.
What did
I didn't love those. Those were enjoyable, but I felt the impending doom of
what did
that
you like this year?
Disappointing
remember.
Series.
Daredevil, you started that? You liked
I did
that?
Enjoy the Daredevil, the Bendis run on Daredevil.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy that. I really enjoyed DMZ. That was this year, right?
Yeah.
Ongoing, sure.
Well, what
ongoing.
I read this year.
Ongoing,
I read it this
yeah.
year.
Mm-hmm.
All the trades. I really enjoyed DMZ. DMZ is fucking awesome. I can't remember what it's about, but... yeah, I did like the Daredevils, though. The Bendis Daredevils.
You're not on the Brubaker yet?
Nah, stop. It's too much superhero.
You should read the annual, the first annual.
I did read the first Brubaker, right?
Chris is trying to plug
the first arc.
You were in it. No, I read that.
Oh.
You're because you
Black
guys
Transform?
Did like Chris Bacello's in it.
Oh yeah, we did that jam thing. We did the
big
Punisher
jam thing.
Part.
Yeah, I remember that. I did read that because that's part of one of Bendis's last issues. Or it's like an
so.
In-betweener.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the last trades, I mean. Yeah. I did read the first Brubaker trade.
Mm-hmm.
That wrap.
In prison. Devil
yeah,
and Cell Block D.
Yeah, it was good.
And I really enjoyed that. And then I kind of flipped through the trade after that, and all of a sudden he's in Paris.
That was to
something.
Kind of get Daredevil out of the country while Civil War was going
it
on.
It kind of got me out of Daredevil a little bit.
It was better after that.
Was it?
Yeah, that first initial arc.
Well, there's not another trade after that yet, is there?
No, I don't think it's out yet.
So I haven't read.
And I think we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, it's definitely been a year of event books and how that's affected a lot of books that...
It's been hard to read. I mean, it's been hard to get into books if you're not into the events this year.
Yeah,
sure.
So, I mean, I've really found myself, like, even books that I've wanted to try... Like, hey, they've infected me with geek this year.
Well, Mr. Parks, what has been some of your favorite stuff this year?
I'm not crazy about coming off like one of those jaded comic book douchebags who doesn't read many comics, but I'm not a big comic reader.
It's hard sometimes, is it not?
You guys do it every day for your job.
There are two things at work. One, I mean, I get so much stuff that it's kind of hard to wade through it. And two... My hero Orson Welles talked about how when you're involved in an artistic endeavor, it's vital to ignore everybody and everything else. And so I kind of, now that I'm writing more, I kind of hate to read a lot of comics because I don't
want to get...
Whatever I am, I'm not very good, but whatever I am is kind of uniquely me, and I don't want to start riffing on other guys too much, you know? But anyway...
You're kind of like Prince. He only listens to his own
music. I'm a lot like Pete. I get confused for him sometimes.
I feel that same way, too. Obviously, I joke a lot about not liking comics. Everybody knows that's not true. I do really enjoy comics. But there is for me, reading over so many scripts when you're working on them, sometimes it just makes reading some comics not very surprising.
Because
after you read... five or six writers or you work with five or six different writers and then you start reading other comics, you start to figure out the formulas and you start to figure out the system of the 22-page book and all of a sudden there's nothing that is unexpected coming.
Artistically, when there's a guy that he may be a fuck-up and not everything works, but when there's a guy like Tony Salmons comes along, for example, who does it and you go, what the fuck, that's a mess, but I never seen anybody do it that way before. It can really be a revelation because you're like, shit, it's different.
You're so used to the formula.
Yeah, he busted everything up and smashed it, and it's interesting.
I think it goes, I mean, it's like, you know, a guy who, I'm trying to think of an analogy, but like somebody who does something for a living, the last thing, you know, a guy who works at a car wash has the dirtiest car in the lot.
Because the last
thing he wants to do is wash his, you know what I mean?
We both work in the fitness industry, and you just have to look at us.
I'm ripped.
No,
it's
ain't a fitness podcast.
Yeah, it does become hard after a while. You almost, but obviously because I distanced myself for 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden I was able to come back this year, read some.
Well, even just, I mean, being... Because I've read comics forever, you know, since I was a little kid. But in the last 3 years, I'm so much more into comics from the point of, you know, the news that comes out of stuff and industry news and knowing guys in it and talking, you know, like I talk to you about comics all the time, stuff we don't talk about on the show, but, you know, or Norton or different guys. And then just like for the show, reading, you know, I was getting to the point reading so many comics, it was like a labor.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't enjoyable, you know, for a while. And that was one of the reasons I switched from single issues to trades, because it was like, I just can't.
You want
to
wait a little bit.
Yeah,
let it build up.
Yeah, I need to one of the things limit
that,
it.
Working at Marvel, I have to be – I mean, there are a lot of these things that go on. I find out about months – I mean, the end – like the Spider-Man One More Day. I might have enjoyed reading that, but I knew the ending of that
right.
months
right.
and months and months ago. So yeah. All of a sudden, there's a title that's a big deal that everybody will talk about and everybody will bitch or love or whatever, and I – can't I don't feel like I can really take part in it equally right. because I already knew.
You know, with both of you guys as creators that aren't afraid to do interviews and, right. and obviously come on
loud mouths,
like yourselves. You know, I always kind of wonder that because the timeline that you guys work with is so much different than what the consumer right. is used to. That you guys are usually 2 and 3 and, you know, sometimes yeah. a half a year or a year ahead knowing what's going to be happening, big right. major events. Do you ever kind of get lost in the schedule whenever you're doing an interview and say, oh, wait, okay, is that – do they – is this on the shelves or has this been announced? Is it hard to keep that stuff straight?
I'm bad at promoting myself because I'm always reticent. I'm always
same
like,
way.
Can I talk about that? Even if I'm in the middle same working, way. I'm kind of like, mm-hmm. is that cool? I never yeah. quite have the schedule in
well,
mind.
Well, because if – I know that for me, I'm never given dates on when things are going to come out.
Yeah.
So when I finish the last page of a book and the colors are off and I upload it to Marvel – I don't know when that thing is going to come out, so I don't know when to talk about it, when not to right. talk about it.
Well, you had to kind of check about the Superman Confidential before you told
right,
me about
right.
that. It's like I don't know if they've announced that yet. So,
and I don't know. I guess we all pretend like we're going to get in trouble, and I don't know anybody that got in trouble, but it's still the company likes to yeah. control when stuff is released, and I don't want to step on any toes with that.
Well, the wrong. I mean, you know, the on certain there. I mean, not every book is like a shh, don't right. say anything, yeah. but. You never know to somebody up in the company, it is.
It right, could right. be, and it could be somebody's bad right, bad
right,
day.
Right. Like New X-Men might not be the biggest hush-hush thing in the industry, but to the editor that controls that book.
It's a big deal.
It's a big sure. deal to him. And, sure. and I respect them, and you know, you have a good relationship with them, and you don't want to ruin it, and you'd like to work on other projects. And so you just – like for me, I'm just like, I'll let them promote it at their own pace, and during interviews – I'll just try to guide it towards artistic ideas and things like that. I just did air quotes on the air, but so
at least they weren't metal.
Yeah.
Air quotes. Well, what, let's go ahead and just jump
I
over.
I totally what derailed the. Right.
No, yeah,
no,
but it's
no, you know, no, but it, well, it, this gonna, is this is much more
I
interesting.
I wanted to ask
than,
a question you know. Then. Mm-hmm. What was your guys' favorite work that you did this year?
Mm.
Whether it was a book, a panel, a page, anything you can, you know, what was maybe one of the favorite things that you did
this
year?
I guess it was this year, and no disrespect to Kirkman or Ant-Man or whatever, but Phil and I just got to draw a Spirit story.
Oh.
And that was pretty fucking cool. Gail Simone wrote a really cool story, and we got to do that 8-page format and draw the Spirit and the hat and the, you know.
What's sure. it like walking in Eisner's footsteps?
I know. It's,
you know, it's
I
cool.
mean, you're not worthy at all, but you just kind of go, what the hell? It's, you know, it's neat to kind of take a detour into that world for a while. So that's a job I'll probably look back on 5 years from now and go, that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, you got some mainstream writing this year. Of course, you know, anyone that hasn't read Capote in Kansas or Union Station, definitely go check those out. But it was really cool to see you write for the Daredevil annual that came out, you and Ed Brubaker.
Yeah, my buddy Brubaker kind of hooked me up. He was a big fan of Capote, and he asked me if I wanted to do some of Marvel, and I said I wouldn't mind, but I have no desire to do that pitch thing, you know, 20 pitches. And so he said, well, I'll plot it and you write it, and then you don't have to do that. So it worked out, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, that's another thing, playing in the world that I love. So, you know, Frank Miller's Daredevil was the beginning of my comics love mm-hmm. in my later years there in high school. So that's a very cool world to be playing around in too. That was very neat. And I'm doing another one of those now, so that's really
– You're doing another nice. Daredevil annual?
Another Daredevil annual. And it hadn't been that long, but they will come out in different years.
No, is Ed plotting it again?
No. Well, I guess we're going to co-plot. Like I wrote the initial plot, and then Ed kind of bounces back 3 or 4 times, and we kind of work it out together.
And it seems to be –
he's doing that a lot.
Yeah, it
folks.
Seems like – Yeah. With Fraction.
I'm like, I'm Fraction Junior.
You're Fraction yeah. Junior. He seems to be wanting to get, you know, and he obviously has a good eye for good writers, so, you know, to get different writers into
it's,
Marvel.
It's cool of him to reach out to you know, guys like me. He didn't have to do that, but hopefully I do a decent job in his playground, and he gets to, you know, he doesn't have time to write all the stuff he thinks of, so he gets to pop out some ideas and see them taken care of by other people.
Just a quick idea, you know, the recurring character, oh, C.O. Salazar, Christ. If you want to, he wasn't in Daredevil at one time, if you want to bring him back. You know, feel
he's
free. Just,
he's angling for a gruesome death.
Yeah, I just want to be murdered really, you know, really badly.
Okay,
yeah. So, just an idea, a thought.
Well, speaking of, you know, in the best of category, certainly Iron Fist this year with Brubaker and Fraction has been, I think, one of the far and away.
I was going to say one of my picks was going to is The Spirit as one probably. My favorite book that came out this year was the new Spirit stuff. But.
Well, Mr. Young, it's been an active year for you. You got to experience the X effect firsthand. Mm-hmm. What's the last year been like for you? I mean, I know that's secondary to becoming a regular member of the Around Comics crew.
Of course. I mean, I've got tens of fans from this show. I'm kidding.
Tens.
The X-Men, drawing new X-Men this year, I'm pretty proud of the new X-Men. It was a little quick for me. I mean, it was a pretty stressful 7 or 8 months. But I would say that my favorite thing from this past year was the Monster Frankenstein story that I got to write and draw and ink and do everything on it.
I think that was a big artistic leap for you. Yeah,
I was finally given a genre to where I could show, hey, if you give me something besides a teen book, you'll get something besides teenage looking artwork, right? You know what I mean? Something that inspires a different look will get a different look. And that was and especially being able to write it myself, which I had never really written anything that has been published before. So that was a very fun experience. It was only 14 pages, but it was enough to really get in there and start to love, oh, wow, this is a whole new.
And now it's really propelled you.
Now it's propelled me. I've been sitting at home for weeks writing a graphic novel, and it's a blast. I mean, I'm having a hard time going back in the studio to draw, really. But that and I think the Cable Deadpool covers for me were the best things. I did 15 issues of Cable Deadpool covers. And that was for me the funnest, most experimental time I've ever had in comics, because it was a book that kind of was people really liked, but it wasn't like a top seller. So they really were cool about just letting me experiment. And it really all came from just playing around with one Cable cover where I was intending to try to make it look like an oil painting. Like, oh, I'm going to be one of these digital painters.
That didn't work out.
And it did not. Yeah. I got halfway into it. I was like, this is terrible. I mean, this has just got awful. And then I just started pressing buttons in Photoshop and playing with this and pulling out paints and pulling out this. And by the end of it, after – I don't know how I got to the point, but I was like, I'll send this over to Marvel and see what they think. And they're like, oh, sweet, we'll use it for the next one. And I just was like, hey, do you think we could do a cover like this? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we'll use this one for the cover. And so each one I got a little ballsier. And I'll push my limits a little bit more and see if they'll take it.
All right, so are we going to talk about comics at all on this episode?
Sal, what have you read this year that you like?
Well, I was gonna, like I said, Will Eisner's The Spirit by Darwin Cook and Jay Bone.
That was great. Yeah. And I had to eat shit on that because when they announced that, I was like, if Will's dead, maybe it should be like Peanuts. Maybe it's done. And then Cook did it.
It was freaking awesome. I'm bringing back Peanuts, by the way.
Damn.
I will say Irredeemable Ant-Man was a book that I enjoyed because it was so – well, I, yeah, I know. I know. I know.
It was an expect – I mean, you didn't know what was coming in that.
Nothing else. It was different. I mean, that's the thing that I enjoyed about the
it
book.
It was actually pretty cool.
It was good and it was different and
– I didn't read it.
It was a shame that shame that it didn't last. But what else? I'm trying to think. I love that the EC comic – and they started last year, but the EC
Archives.
Archives that have been coming out. I've been digging those.
I'm actually glad that they've taken a little bit of a break. They're, I think, a month behind. And so we should see Crime Suspense Stories Volume 2, I think, next week. So give me a little bit of a break to catch up.
I'm spoiled. I'm like an old-time event. I have those box sets with the
oversized
black
and white.
The
black and whites. Yeah.
I don't have everything, but I've got the ones I really dig. And I'm partial to those.
Those are pretty nice. And
I know not everybody can get them. They're out of print or whatever. But
yeah, you can get them at cons and stuff still. Yeah. But
The recolored ones are – and it's not fair to call them recolored.
They followed Marie's guides kind of,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. They just kind of tweaked it where it would really improve the coloring.
I think
and
they did a really
nice
job.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous.
I read
else?
Why the Last Man. All the Wise trades that
did
are
you catch
out.
Up to
all nine. All nine trades that are out.
Did they walk?
Did they
walk? Walked a lot. There's monkeys.
Well, I tell you, have you been getting the Kirby Fourth World Omnibus?
No, I have not. I didn't pick that
up
yet.
The Omnibus.
Fucking book names.
I have not.
They're big books.
Pick those up. They are.
I'm enjoying those. Those are just kind of kooky fun.
I'll probably get to them. I got so many things. Death of Cap, I thought was the whole Brubaker Cap has been good. Sinestro Core War was the best event comic that came out this year.
My favorite single.
The only one that wasn't disappointing and a letdown and actually had a payoff. And so I thought that was really good. What else? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I thought the best single issue this year, for me anyway, was the Sinestro Core special, the first one. I thought that was just a great romp.
Yeah, that was really good stuff.
It was a romp.
It was a romp. God, I don't know. Honestly, all told, I think this year has been
not as good as 2006.
Yeah, it's been a bit of
a letdown.
It's been
tough with the events. It has
the
been
events
tough.
Have screwed up. I mean, all the events were disappointing. Other than I thought the Green Lantern one, World War Hulk was disappointing. Civil War was disappointing. Countdown's been disappointing.
Yeah,
they've all just been a letdown from the good, you know, stuff that happened. In last year, there seemed to be so many more. And independent stuff, there seem to be so many more books come out from Image that were really good last year. I can't really name anything off the top of my head.
Well, The Walking Dead's always good.
Well, you know. But I'm saying that debuted this year.
In 2006, we had Casanova. We were talking about this today at once. We had Casanova,
Criminal,
Elephant Men really kind of started coming out in 2006. And while those have continued, and we saw Jamie McKelvey's new series, Suburban Glamour, which has been fun, I'm not in love with it as much as I am with Phonogram. It's still a fun read, but it seems like 2006 there was some really, really fun stuff that was coming
Welcome
out.
Welcome to Tranquility was a good series. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Is it over?
Yeah, basically. The whole Wildstorm universe is kind of, I don't know. They're doing Armageddon now, so I don't know what's going on. Well,
they kind of took Wildstorm and just rebooted it, right? Back
well,
to
did,
like the Jim Lee days, and then that didn't work. The sales didn't really work there, so they're trying new stuff.
Chris, I need you to help me. 07, that Image book came out. You've had him on. Jonathan something?
Hickman?
Nightly News.
Yeah, Nightly News was fantastic.
That's cool because he mixes up the format a lot.
Well, have you seen his new series, I think, came out
today.
Did it come out today?
Yeah, Pax Romana.
Pax Romana.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I will, you guys, chat. I will go to the shelves.
Has there been anything that you've read this year that didn't come out this year, but you read it for the first time that you enjoyed?
Tom Strong for Chris. I've really gotten into Mike Aldred's Madman stuff.
Okay.
I bought the first two trades plus the Atomic stuff.
Right.
And Madman Atomic Comics came out this year, which got me to go back and buy that stuff. So I've really, really dug that. What else have I read this year? Trying to think.
You never read the Black Sad books?
I just got them.
Oh, you just got them.
I wasn't able to get them.
You just waited for a while?
Yeah, I had to. They were out of stock. I was waiting at Borders to get them.
Yeah,
so.
I love those.
I saw them, and they looked fantastic, but I never was able to get my hands on them.
Right.
I think this has been a year of some good smaller events ending and then kind of dovetailing into some bigger events that weren't as successful. Planet Hulk concluded, and I thought Planet Hulk whenever we look back on, I think is going to be one of those cornerstone classic Hulk stories, because it's self-contained, sure. 12 issues, and it's just a great
Planet Hulk.
Yeah,
Hulk was really good. World War Hulk started out good, but it ended badly.
52 wrapped up, which was obviously 2006's big story, and the success of 52, it finished this year.
Well, but I think that's been my biggest problem, though, with all the events and just a lot of the mainstream books is that...
No finality to it?
There's no closure on any story. Everything has just led into the next one. The
well,
next
it's almost
event,
like a big... it's like a... Here's a big idea, and here's a couple bullet points for our big idea.
But no real direction of where it's going.
And no real guts to it. I mean, there's no, like, Civil War for me.
Well, it started before, like, House of M led into, Avengers Disassembled led into House of M, House of M into Civil War, Civil War into Initiative. And it's just nothing's ever paid off. There's been no payoff for any of them, really. Yeah. They just always lead in the, I mean, they hype it up. Oh, it's going to change things forever. And it doesn't. And nothing ever changes, really. That's the nature of comics.
Sure.
You know, nothing can change that much.
Have you read Annihilation? I still need to get on to Annihilation.
I've been
bandwagon.
Reading the newer stuff. I didn't read the initial Annihilation, but then I started reading Nova, and that got into the Annihilation Conquest.
I'm not into sci-fi stuff, their space stuff.
I'm not really either, but that one I actually kind of liked.
Sci-fi's made a
my
nice
buddy Greg.
Comics.
Greg drew the scrolls.
Titus,
Titus drew the scroll book.
In between Annihilation and the Green Lantern Corps, or the
Captain
Captain Marvel, Nova.
No, not Captain Marvel. I can't think of it now. It might have been last year. The Jim Starlin.
Oh, the Mystery in Space.
Mystery in Space, was that last year?
I think it kind of continues.
That was fantastic.
There's some really good cosmic comics coming out right now, and it's just that almost seems like a niche, like crime comics, and that it's only going to appeal to a certain segment. And
one book that came out this year that I thought was great was Scalped by Jason Aaron.
Scalped is good. I'm very anxious really for the second trade on Scalped because I enjoyed Scalped.
It gets better,
but I want to see it.
Develop more.
Yeah, go a little bit more. I thought it was a good setup for a first trade. It's almost like a trade that I wish I would have waited for the first three trades to be out.
The second, I was kind of the same way. The first one, I was like, oh, I like the art, I like the story, but it was like, it wasn't really killing me.
I mean, I got it. It wasn't bad. It just didn't.
Right.
It was kind of a slow burn start.
This last, I guess, arc you'd call it, but the last six issues or whatever, six, eight issues have been
really good.
Really good.
I'm looking forward to the second trade.
They've just really. Weighty, you know, real meaty, which I think Jason Aaron does.
Right,
he just seems to be able to add weight to his characters.
One that you read and got me to finally pick up, and I think we both enjoyed it was Justice.
Yeah, I did like. I was surprised how much I liked Justice. Alex Ross and Jim Kruger.
Doug Braithwaite. Can't forget Doug
Braithwaite
on that.
Sorry. The 12 issues. Mm-hmm. I waited for the hardcover of that, and I
is that in the store.
Yes.
Are you awake?
Could you act more excited?
A little enthusiasm, Scott.
Is it in the store?
Yeah, since I'll go back to the racks.
Go back to the racks, rack boy.
The Brit came out this year from...
You like that?
I love that. Well, I had loved the original three the singles that he had done before, so he started a new ongoing of that. And it's just a fun, like... super action film. Basically, it's a guy that can't be hurt, and so he's just sent around, you know.
Can I say, since Chris went to the rack, I got a comment on this Jonathan Hickman
Pax Romana
thing. This is what I was talking about earlier. I don't think, honestly, everything in here, all the experiments he tries work 100%.
But he tries.
But holy shit, you open this thing and there's something new on every page. You go, wow, look at the way he's manipulating the medium here, and then he tried something here. He went to text for two pages. God bless him. He's mixing it up and trying something different. If it works, you know, 80%, it's a victory.
Yeah, you're not going to sit down and read that in 10 minutes, nor should you. But he also can spin a pretty good conventional comics story. I just read he sent us a preview PDF of Red Mass for Mars. And
see that? Yes. It's on the back cover here.
Son of a...
Oh, that's right, he did.
And he's not doing the artwork on it, but he wrote it, and a really, really fun story. I think those are two, you know, if Pax Romana is maybe too dense, I think that Red Mass for Mars, you can still get a taste of...
A bit more accessible for dumb guys like me.
Well, yeah, Pax Romana is not going to be for everyone. Nightly News wasn't for everyone.
Certainly not.
And but he definitely shows some writing chops in some different ways. So. He's definitely a come-on-the-scene guy, just like Jason something. Aaron. I think this is also a year that we saw Brian Reed really kind of hop onto the scene.
Yeah, and, sure.
And kind of
he's been writing everything. I mean, Miss Marvel is a book that I never thought I would read and enjoy, but I do.
If you were ever to walk into a bear trap of a comic, it would be the return of Marvel's Captain Marvel. And boy, did he pull that off.
Well,
and
it's only one issue so far. We'll see what the second one came out today. We'll see how if he continues.
Something crazy from this year.
Yes.
More fucking zombies.
Lots of more zombies. Yeah, zombies haven't gone
anywhere.
It's
mind-boggling.
You had Marvel Zombies 2. You had
it's really weird.
Triple X Zombies. You had there's a bunch
of zombies still.
That makes me feel very old.
Zombies?
Yeah, I see Captain America zombie. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? What?
Yeah.
These kids today with their zombies.
Have you had any comics that had a zombie cover and an alternate zombie cover?
So. Well, I did one.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That one, hey, go buy that.
My tastes and my need for money are live in two different houses, my friend.
Totally unconnected.
Yes.
Can you guys think of any good indie stuff that came out this year? Like getting introduced to like Black Hole. Actually, Phil
Hester
turned us on to Black Hole and fell in love with that. And like Blankets and some Jeffrey Brown stuff that came out and different indie stuff like that, alternative stuff. Can you think of anything? I mean, I probably haven't read very much this year.
Incredible Change Bots from Jeffrey came out this year.
My dear pals at Oni Press continue to do a lot of good stuff. I'm on that. God bless them. I'm on the comp list. So I always look forward to that box showing up. And we just had a new Scott Pilgrim, weeks ago?
Yeah.
That thing's fucking
Everybody loves that
fun.
Book. Everybody just
every time, yeah.
I've only read the first one at this point, but it was good. It was really good. I'm trying to think of what else. I don't know. What?
Anders Nilsson.
What? Come on over.
Yeah,
come on, Natalie.
I don't know enough.
Come on.
I'm trying to find out.
Here comes Natalie to talk about the Fanta.
Come on, Fantagraphics girl.
Tell us about Fanta.
Pull your chair up.
Turn us on to
some. I will say Anders Nilsson is a charming young man. I met him in France, and I haven't read his work yet, but I like him.
Yeah.
Ooh, France, la.
Yeah, Anders Nilsson does some really good stuff.
What was the book?
He does a book called Dogs and Water, and then there's also The Big Questions, which is a continuing, and then you have
she's running the racks.
Uh-oh, there she goes.
Holy shit.
Running to the racks.
And then
freaking
you have
The End.
The End right there.
Okay.
Which is really good. And this is from the Ignat series that Fantagraphics does, which...
is that crazy little mouse?
Ignat's? No. No, Ignat. You're thinking of Ignatz and Crazy, but no, this is just what they're calling their books.
You said Ignatz, right?
And they're hand-stitched, and it's a series that Fanta's doing, and...
What the hell is that?
She's very excited about this coloring book over here.
Okay, you talk about the excitement.
Yeah. So,
where's the superhero?
Richard Sala Richard Sala has an Ignatz, and you don't know Richard Sala?
Why do you keep looking
at
me?
From the Chuckling What's It?
Of course.
Who's it wasn't?
Genius.
Okay, and then there's a bunch of other people that have these.
All right, but I'm talking about good
ones. Lazarus Hernandez. Oh, my God. Just kidding.
For the folks who couldn't actually look through the book, there was, like, mind puzzles.
Yeah, I don't know
and
what
a few
was.
Silhouettes of naked Bell, bodies.
Who has a series called Lucky.
How about really, like, accessible?
Do you have anything
with accessible stuff?
Yeah. Or a character?
Hey, new tales from Old Palomar.
Exactly. That's what
I there you go. Okay, now you're on
Fanta put out a set of origami in the shape of circles.
Is there any... well, I know it's Persepolis was a big, but I don't think that came out this year.
No. That's a few years.
What about Top Shelf? What was a big Top Shelf this year?
Ooh,
Lost Girls.
Was that?
I have that.
Year. I have that.
I don't know.
I'm going to read it someday.
Surrogates got optioned for a movie deal, and I'm reading the Surrogates right now.
Top Shelf had a Black Dossier came out, but that was
I got to get that
or Wildstorm still not Top Shelf.
That is. That's the
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Right.
Yeah.
That is all over the bookstores.
Is it?
Really?
Like right when you walk in on the main shelf, right when you walk in the little table that says top selling hardbook covers or hot hardcovers or whatever.
It's
there's
awesome.
Like a bunch
Maybe
of novels
a good thing
and
for,
that.
For people who aren't sure if they're into comics. There's a lot of text, and there's comics thrown in. And
what's funny is that it is a book of back matter, and whenever the Absolute comes out, how are they going to do back matter of a book that is all back matter? Is going to be interesting. Big story was this year was the conclusion of Strangers in Paradise.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
So Strangers, you can't,
which I've never read.
And
I keep meaning to get to it, but
it's good.
I've got a stack of, and he's announced his new. Isn't he? What's he doing next? Something.
Spider-Man loves Mary Jane.
Yeah, something. That's right.
He's going.
All right. Well, is that all? Is that everything we've got? Anybody
else?
Does
that have to be comics?
No. What do you got?
Because I've been reading Jim Thompson like a motherfucker in the last 6 months or so.
Former governor of Illinois.
No.
Oh,
classic noir.
Big like, Jim Thompson.
I would say, like, the guys you always hear Frank Miller talk about his influences, the ones that stick out for me are Johnny Craig, one of the best comic artists that ever lived, great EC artist, and Jim Thompson. And Jim writes these dark noir books. The Grifters and The Getaway are the ones people would know.
They made movies out of them.
Yeah. And Pop 1280, they made a French film called Coup de Torchon, which is a classic. And, anyway, I've been reading him because I'm writing this noir thing, and I've been trying to immerse myself in all that. And every Jim Thompson book I read, at the end I go, fuck! I just did a Lewis Black, like, yeah! I didn't know you could do that. I mean, he ends Pop 1280 with the guy saying to our protagonist, you know, you're fucked, I got the goods on you. And the protagonist said, yes, sir, I don't know what I'm going to do next. The end. I'm like, well, shit.
You can't do that. When I'm not really that familiar with his work.
He wrote this stuff in the, I'm going to embarrass myself, I'd say 40s and 50s.
So it's true noir.
Yeah.
Noir is film only, sir.
So I just get, and there's a, I forget the name, there's a series of noir.
You have a lot of rules.
I know.
Anyway, there's a series of them coming out, reissues now. They're really nice, so I've been just.
Is that the pulp?
They've been advertising.
I should say a few comics, and this is going to sound like me just totally ass schmoozing, which is okay. But mainly I read buddy comics because like Jason Aaron's stuff always blows me away, and Brubaker's stuff, I think his
Criminal is. And it's criminal not to read that.
Yeah, and his Daredevil and his Captain America, I think, are as good as it gets.
Looking for another pull quote, are you?
I'm working on it.
It's criminal not to read it. Jesus.
Didn't you like Astonishing? Did you read that this year?
I did. I really liked it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I liked I'm a total, like, Josh?
Josh.
Whatever the fuck his name is.
His real name's like
Buffy guy. I'm a total version.
Bernard or something.
With him, I'd never seen Buffy. I don't know anything. But I loved his. Yeah, I loved
Astonishing.
Yeah.
And can I say one superhero? Because seriously, you guys have All-Star Superman.
Well, that didn't. Did that come out?
Yeah,
that started this year.
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal book.
That's great.
Phenomenal.
Is that the Quietly?
Yeah, Quietly and Grant Morrison. Grant Morrison.
It's Grant
awesome.
Okay,
just stepping on Alan Moore's cape and trying to live up to the greatness of Alan Moore by, in his own mild way, taking the essence of what makes Superman great and bringing it into present day. And you know, doing it almost as well as Ann Moore does.
Twice in a week, we've had a creator kind of smack Grant Morrison.
What's with that?
Alex Ross had some interesting words for.
I love All Star Superman. I think it's fantastic.
I'm not worried. I'm pretty sure they don't listen to podcasts on Venus.
Jesus born last month of the year. Tell me, when was Jesus born? Last month of the year. Tell me, when was Jesus born? Last month of the year. Yeah, it was January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. It was the 25th day of December. It was the last month of the year. He was born to the Virgin Mary, last month of the year. He was born to the Virgin Mary, the last month of the year. He was born to the Virgin Mary, the last month of the year.
Well, I think one of the things that we can look back on 2007, and this is something that's been growing in the last few years, we've seen the continued evolution of comics
the format.
going to trade, original graphic novels, the continued growth of the book chains, mm-hmm. and how that's affecting the business.
Bookstore effect.
And, you know, there's no question that, the industry is in flux right now, whether you want to admit it right. or not, that things are changing. Things are being written differently. They're being packaged differently. And this is, you know, you're obviously, and I'm pointing at Scotty, a big proponent of letting the work breathe and yeah. writing it for whatever length it needs to be and putting it out in a complete package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a different trading things up is a nice first step but it's still not. I don't like when they take six issues, put it together, and then call it a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a graphic novel, really. It's just a trade paperback.
It's
a collected edition of what was single issues.
30 Days of Night was not based on the graphic novel.
Yes, it was. Yeah, no, it was not. And there are great books that come out that are just written as here it is. Here's our tale.
Here's the story we had to tell.
Crafted it like this, and we got to reveal things when we wanted. In the time that we wanted, we could let it breathe at the beginning. We could build it up at the beginning, and more like a novel or I would say the closest thing to a novel. I mean, movies and screenplays, you still have time.
Well, it's just a complete story. You have you know, you have a vision of what you want to do, and you're able to tell that story without the constraints of, okay, there's 22 pages. I got to get this out in a month, and it has to do certain things for that single issue.
No novelist sits down and says, I have to complete a chapter every 50 pages.
Exactly.
I mean, look at Stephen King wrote that book and he released it as chapters and it was a disaster you know, for him because nobody wants to read a story that way. It's
hard.
It's just comics have always been that way, but comics are a different thing than they were.
They're trying to ride both sides of the tracks now. I mean, you can tell that everybody is getting to the point where they want to write the big epic story, but they're trying to do it in the serialized,
They're caught in between the two.
Like, here's the one and done's format, which comics does very well, and that should never go away for the people who really enjoy stories to be told in that kind of format. But you can't wedge one style of storytelling into another style of storytelling with every story,
right?
You know, every Marvel book.
Because sometimes it works real well. Sometimes you have somebody that does, you know, sort of. And you see it a little bit more now because people are, you know, writing for the trade, that kind of thing. And people who read single issues sometimes don't like that. But when it's finished and, you know, you're able to pick it up in a trade, it just reads better because it was sort of – the thought was behind it that this is going to be six issues or eight issues and it's a complete kind of story as opposed to, you know – I mean, it's just sort of changed because it was, you know, at one time every issue was its own story and it was done. And then you had stories that – kind of went over two issues, three issues, and now it's six, seven, eight.
Well, I just kind of brought it up because I hadn't seen Andy's Capote in Kansas, and I asked him if it came out in single issues. He said no, it was just he just did it as a graphic novel, and that's really exciting. I am looking forward to this year, hopefully, more and more established creators trying to do it, and I challenge people who are trying to break into the industry to not fold to what you think the industry tells you this is comics. You know, create your own way of storytelling and see what can come out of it. I mean, I really think there are outlets more than ever now that can allow you to find your way to tell your story without...
The problem is, and I kind of have my, you know, a foot on each side of the wall here because... I really believe in the graphic novel format, and I preach that a lot. And I go to libraries a lot in Kansas, and I speak about graphic novels and the potential and how they're not limited in any way. You can tell any kind of story with a graphic novel and be effective with it. Unfortunately, in addition to being an artist, I got to pay my mortgage, and there's not a good structure right now in American comics to pay your bills doing that kind of storytelling exclusively. So I have one hand over here in the world of monthlies, inking comics, and making a good page rate, and another hand doing the format I really am passionate about.
But you're in the great position, though, there. Yeah. Then. I mean, it's a little extra work on your side because you're doing both.
Right.
But that's – I think that's how it's going to get done is for the established creators. We talked about me writing my thing. You're doing the both things.
Sure.
So while I'm drawing this project for Marvel, which is single issues, and you'd pay your rent, you spend the few extra hours the other night. And hopefully there's enough of that kind of thinking that goes on to start to start to balance it out. Where there's a little bit more of both instead of mm-hmm. – I mean, it's very rare that we see an original – you know, like a graphic novel just come out. Oh, where'd this come from? This great big story.
Right.
It's great. You know, it's so rare to see that that I think if more – the more people start writing both sides. Because right. obviously we can't just stop one and start the other. There's going to have to be a transition and
there's
just like
a lot
anything,
of growing pains.
Yeah, there's going to be some fucking hardships.
I mean, we're
along
going
the
through
way.
Some major growing pains. But yeah. you look at this at the shop that we're sitting in, and Dark Tower for being, you know, it's limited on space. It's an urban comic shop, so mm-hmm. it's not one of these huge sprawling shops like you'll see in some places. But you look at the wall space in here, and it's almost a 50-50 split between single issues and trades yeah. and graphic novels mm-hmm. now. And if that isn't a picture of things to come, I don't know. What is? I mean, it's and Mark, to his credit, here has always been a proponent of that. He understands that the industry is going that way. Has kind of grabbed a hold of that, and you even see in you know how he puts his independence. Right. You see more independent comics here than in a lot of other shops. But you know, you just look around and say, okay, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, shop wouldn't right. look like this.
I think what'll happen is where you Andy was mentioning about. You know, obviously as artists, we need to find ways to pay our bills and raise our families and take care of ourselves. I think that over time, if we open it up and there's more options of how to put the stories out, for me, I hope that instead of making this little chunk of money for every single issue, my hopes is if I'm free to create the story that I want to create, then my story will be good enough to where that one story will right. make me the big chunk of money over time.
I've been to
it's a longer term way of thinking, I think, in a lot of ways.
I've been to conventions in France and in Spain in the last year and a half, and you go to the publishers' tables and they're albums. They're all albums.
And they stay in print.
And I don't know how those artists make out financially, but I saw a lot of artists at these shows who seem to be making a living doing this stuff. Mm.
They have,
and they go away for a year, and they make this album, and they seem to, you know.
Well, their royalty, because I have a deal set up with Soleil, mm-hmm. who's a publisher in France, and their royalty system over there it's a lot different. When you create a story with them, I mean, even if you're working on one of their established kind of worlds, you are as an artist and the writer, you are an owner in it. So your royalty structure is set up far better than here in America, right. where it's there is no if you sell you have to sell this much before you start getting mm-hmm. royalties or anything like that. It's you are part owner in this product. You are this much a percent owner, so you will always get this percent of the profits of this book. And they are run under the system of we put this book out, we will keep it in print because we hope to slowly build a giant audience. And whereas we kind of hope, well, if the sales numbers aren't gigantic before the book even comes out, it's done.
And you've talked about this in the direct market. It's so predetermined. Yeah. It's a first issue is going to sell this. Mm-hmm. Then the second issue is going to sell, yeah. what, 50% right. of that? The yeah. third issue.
Because our numbers aren't based on audience, the actual audience.
They're based on pre-orders of shop
retailers.
Owners.
Right.
You know,
well, I think a big part of it is with mainstream comics especially, you have Marvel and DC looking at it. You know, I mean, those are characters and worlds that they own.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're taking the biggest chunk of the profits from any of those. But I think as the book market grows, you're going to have the demand for different kinds of things.
We'll be able to branch out.
Yeah, you know.
Similar to the movies. I mean, up until now, we've seen nothing but property-based movies, Marvel properties, DC properties. And I think it'll be interesting this year where we're starting to see the first round, and then a little bit this past year, but we're starting to see the first round of original superhero movies.
Right.
Where the Will Smith's new one, I think I don't even know what it's called. It actually looks pretty funny. Hank or
Huckster or something like that.
Where they're just coming up with original superhero
story
things. Yes. Yeah.
And that's all dovetailing off of Heroes, the popularity of this kind of instant, ready-made.
And I think that comic books, where Hollywood is taking their cues from us in the comic book industry and starting to craft their own, I think we need to, in return, like bounce it back over and start taking our cues from what they're doing, in that it is okay to and a lot of this conversation probably needs to go out to the aspiring up and coming, the younger kids out there, the younger men and women who want to get into comics, to not, you know, to want more than just to be the next guy who draws Spider-Man or the next guy who draws Batman.
Well, here's as we see the book market continue to grow, and I don't think it's a secret that in the book industry, the largest growing segment of sales for them is graphic novels.
Right.
And that's, you know, you see it in Borders and Barnes & Noble, and now we're starting to see different publishers outside of the comics realm are taking notice of this as larger publishers.
As well as distributors.
Yeah, as well as distributors. Do you think that we're maybe getting close to some of the book publishers, the Doubledays of the world, that are going to start jumping into the graphic novel market, and we're going to see? And
well, Scholastic's already,
it's already
there, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I worked in that Postcards book. I had a story in there that was published by a division of Random. And I just hope there's not a backlash, because I think a lot of those big publishers, they're still corporate entities.
They'll still grab anything.
And they saw things – they saw a few headlines and like, graphic novel – immediately, fetch me a graphic novel division.
Well, it's like Hollywood.
You know, and so I hope they're willing to stand by it long enough to go through that first phase and keep an established – you know, find established creators, get new people going so that there's actually continuing quality going on. And they don't throw 20 graphic novels out there and they don't do what they want and they pull the plug and say, fuck,
well,
that's,
well, Jill Thompson has a three-book – like a three big novel deal with one of the actual book publishers. Mm-hmm. I don't know which publisher it is, but so I mean, it, yeah, it's starting.
I mean,
to
they're certainly taking notice.
Well, but don't we think? I don't know. Again, I'm pissing on my own livelihood. Don't we think the serialized floppy is, to a large extent, a juvenile invention? Intended for younger readers who...
Yes. Well, certainly it was when it was initially in...
And is there any doubt that there are now fewer younger readers and there are going to continue to be fewer younger readers?
You have a nine-year-old at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your nine-year-old going to go out with the exorbitant amount of allowance that you give her and...
$3 a week.
Okay. She can buy one comic.
Yeah. And I give her
maybe not even most of the comics
not
there.
Amazing
or
Spider-Man.
She could save that $3 a week for a month and go buy a big book that
She can be able, you know,
or a Brad's shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't even.
So
say.
Yeah, the floppy. if I'm reading you right, the floppy is, you know, an adolescent invention. It's there to grab the younger reader, but it's not aimed towards younger readers anymore.
Right.
The price point is prohibitive for that.
Well, and the stories are too, to the most point. I mean, most stories are written and developed geared towards an audience that already exists, not trying to grab new readers and bring them into the world. Now, you have an opportunity in bookstores to do more of that in through, like, Scholastic and that kind of thing to try and get new readers, but it's not going to be necessarily a majority of what you see coming from the mainstream publishers, because they're... You know, they're so, to me, and I don't know any, you know, I mean, I've never worked in the industry, so I don't know for sure. But to me, it just seems like they're so afraid to let go of something that's worked for them for so long and try and change in any way to really grow it. I mean, you have at Marvel and DC, you have it, you know, you have a bunch of guys that grew up reading comics, wanting to work in comics, and now they do.
And they grew up with this modern 22-page format. I think it's worth mentioning that. When comics sold 7 million copies, it wasn't this format. It was a dime for 60, what, 60 something? Yeah, you know, 62, eight different stories.
Page counts started dropping when paper costs started going up because of the wars and everything. So that's the weird thing, is this weird number page count didn't come from an editorial decision. Right. This came from a fiscal decision that had nothing to do with story. So, yeah, I mean, when comics were selling huge, they were getting bigger books. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a different day. But no,
but they're tied to it so much.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I talked with Chris about this before. It's like, and they're not going to change until they're forced to, and they, right. until they absolutely have to. I mean, and there's so many other considerations. You know, I mean, you have, you know, all the comic shops that are around that I'm sure, you know, should be afraid of what's going on.
There's a lot fewer of those than ever.
There are,
as well.
And there's going to be fewer and fewer.
I mean,
we
are spoiled living in a place like Chicago because we see many, many comic right. shops. But again, we've said a million times. Okay. What's that? Yeah, we know. I didn't see how I didn't mention anything.
None as, Dark Tower and then
none
the
as good as
yeah.
Dark Tower.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know, but Mark has to work overtime to keep what he has. And we're lucky right. to have a good shop owner that listens to his customers. He goes out of his way to stock the store with stuff that's going to appeal to a lot of people. And we're very spoiled yeah. in Chicago with the comic shops that we do have.
I mean, look at the last year of comics. You know, look at Marvel. What has Marvel done in the last year in their mainstream comics?
That would appeal to the public?
To do anything to grow the readership.
They've done nothing, and DC even worse.
They've been the worst.
They've changed their business model, and now it's not even built around the monthly comic. It's built around events. And they are dragging people, kicking
and
screaming.
And not only is it built around
events,
but those events are built, you know, especially DC, those events are built to do nothing but please 35-year-old, you know, comic book nerds, and nothing to
it's
try like
and like a collection of facts now.
Do you see a little credit, though? They have the Minx line that they put out last year
sure.
To appeal to girls. And then this year they're going to have a lot of kid-friendly books. Tiny Titans, which I'm actually going to buy. And then they're going to have the Shazam series. So.
No, they've certainly done small. But I'm saying if you look at it as a whole and you look at, okay, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, you know, Spider-Man, Captain America, Daredevil, you know, whatever. Here are the book. Okay, I mean, you have three major blockbuster right. movies of Spider-Man that come out. How many Spider-Man books are out on the shelves that can introduce a kid to right. Spider-Man?
Well, and here's the other difference. Even
Marvel Adventures.
But even DC is at least
here's the. But if we bring it back to the format, If we bring it back to the format. What you're saying is true with some of the younger books, Tiny Titans and things like that. But if you bring it back to what we've been talking about, the format, the problem with that is even in a bookstore, those books will get shoved off in the tiniest of corner.
Right.
They won't be
what
put in the
teenagers?
Children's book section.
Young adult novels.
If you want to introduce a child to a book, it needs to be where all the child's books are.
Right.
Not where mixed. The problem is those books will be sitting right next to the book for me.
Right, they're going
to
be in the graphic novel.
When I go to the book, I don't want to. I should not see 300 and Sin City right next to the Peanuts. You know, right.
I mean,
right
that's what was kind of talk beyond children and talk about young adults.
Yes,
young adult novels.
That's a whole new. That's a whole new demographic, even in novels. That's been
well.
Over the
grown
up.
There's the Minx line for you.
Right.
And that was exciting earlier this year, going into Borders and going to the novel section and seeing all the Anita Blakes. And there they got it because the Anita Blake hardcover was shelved there.
But Anita Blake has already built its audience of young adults. Mm-hmm. You're trying to use that to bring people into comics as opposed to using what you already have, someone iconic like Superman right. or Batman or Spider-Man, something you already possess,
right.
and trying to appeal to an audience that you already have.
Right.
You already have this audience. You've had it for 25 years. Why do you keep just giving them exactly – you can still give them what they want and make them happy, but not – You publish 90 books a month. You can't take 20 of those and try and, you know, get people to read them, get new readers, young adults and children to read those books so that you have maybe 20 years from now you actually have an audience still? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But
I'm always preaching diversity, and I really believe it in the graphic novel genre, you know, where I think any kind of story should be told and can be told. But I also believe it in superheroes. People would rag on our Green Arrow run with Kevin Smith because, you know, Green Arrow goes down on Black Canary.
I don't remember that.
Well, we didn't draw it, but I mean, it's clearly written, you know. I think there's a line about her Sherwood Foresters. I don't know. Anyway, people were like, this is a superhero comic, and how dare they, you know, put such things. Well, superheroes should be as broad as any other genre.
There should be as campy as
gritty Superman, and there should be an entry level kid-friendly, you know, cartoon.
Well, that's what I mean. There's no diversity.
And that's
no.
if you, I think even if you went the graphic novel Here's a Story route, you could do those extremes that much easier, right. Because people wouldn't have to. If I jump in on a run and all of a sudden me as the artist and a new writer jumps in on a run of whatever book, we'll just say Superman, for example. And all of a sudden what happened in Superman and all of a sudden me and this writer take it to a whole nother area, it's not the same thing anymore because it's all of a sudden two different right. tones in the same continuity of books.
Oh, here, I'll
whereas if instead of they did their graphic novel, here's our story.
Right.
We told our story, here's the beginning, here's the end. Maybe it's a series of big stories, but here's ours. Then we want to do one, we'll do our tone. And it's much easier.
Is it in canon?
Canon, yeah.
Is the continuity.
See, we just make up words, I think, too. What's canon?
That's a real world. That's a real one. That's the thing. There's the lack of diversity in comics is amazing. I mean, for as many comics that are published today, and it's like we just can't. I don't know if it's the people that are edit, you know, whether it's editors, publishers, writers. Or what it is, but it's like we can't get away from like this small little tiny. I mean, even a line like Vertigo, which I love a lot of the Vertigo stuff.
Yeah.
But really, how many of the Vertigo titles are that far off from. I mean, they're all trying to be HBO series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they're.
If any company out there right now should go
forgive me.
Straight graphic novel, it should be them. Because they make all their money on trades anyway.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are business reasons involved, sure. But you know what I mean? It's just like
business is stupid.
Like you said, we're not sitting here saying stop what you're doing.
No, and start balance it.
Yeah. Just, you know, do some things.
Bounce it out. Reach outside the box. Yeah. In 2008, let's hope that some companies, some up and coming artists and creators, writers will think outside the box and help do their little part. Even if it's just one graphic novel or the one thing.
All you people that send us emails saying you want to be a writer, want to be an artist.
Write it.
Do it.
Do it.
But don't think you have to write what you've already seen
Don't.
Or the same way that you've read.
Exactly.
Do something.
You don't have to pitch your Spider-Man idea.
Right.
Come up with your own idea. It could be superhero or not.
Yeah.
Write a graphic novel. Who cares if it even it might not get published for 2 years? How many novel writers have stacks and stacks of manuscripts
in their
house? I think just the companies and the creators all need to go out and do your part this year to try and see if we can't start to mold it into a little different beast.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and see what happens. Who knows? It could go crazy.
No. It could end.
You know, I've seen I've been around comics long enough, and I've seen little tiny movements of artists trying to get together and accomplish things together. And unfortunately, we're in an industry where the creators are very stubborn, isolated, you know, kind of paranoid. You know?
Sure.
Gymnastic.
And so it's hard. Change is hard.
Oh, it's very difficult. I mean, it's a scary situation. What's that?
Well, we can't really say, you know, like the project you were going to work on is you almost didn't.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? Because of
because of
the whole thing we're talking about.
Exactly.
You know? It's like
once they know the project, you can go back and re-listen to this episode.
Right.
But I almost didn't take it because I almost fell victim to what I don't like about comics. Like I wanted to make sure that but my name and I won't be on the Big X or the Spider-Man or the and what if I'm not? And then I stopped and you know you and I talked and I was like, what the fuck? I'm the preacher.
And
practice what I preach. Oh. You know, it's a scary thing to take risks. The biggest gains come from the biggest risks. So, I mean, if you step out on the ledge, some people are going to fall. But you're not going to kill yourself. It's not going to be the worst fall in the world. Do it again. Some are going to fucking succeed.
Well, the thing is, it's no secret that the business model is going to have to completely change in the next decade. And we're starting to see the changes of that.
Digital comics is a whole
nother. Exactly where I was going
to
go next.
What do you guys look forward to in digital comics?
This is a big year for digital comics with Marvel's DCU, which I thought was kind of a funny naming of it. But we see now that Marvel is getting very aggressive with digital comics. And
the first step in it, and pretty big one. I mean, you have the whole subscription thing, and you'll be able to get. I mean, it's still kind of weird because you're waiting 6 months.
And you can't download them.
You can't download mm-hmm. them. You have to read them. I mean,
Especially renting it.
Yeah, you have flaws. I mean, yeah. It has flaws, but it's a step. I mean, it's certainly a big step forward. And Zuda Comics with DC getting into that. And I'm sure now that Marvel has unveiled their archive and whatever, the DC will follow suit mm-hmm. and other publishers probably on a smaller degree. But
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that the comic companies were, especially Marvel at this point, were really starting to feel the pinch of illegal downloaded comics, and that is got to be the motivation for launching their digital library. You know, they're pretty systematically hunting down any of the illegal torrent sites, and that's that's part of their business now, is that they offer these subscription services. Where do you guys, as creators, how do you feel about digital comics? Where do you think it's going? You know, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, it's a hard thing to wrap your head around. I mean, from a creative standpoint, I don't really have an opinion either way. I mean, do I want something that I create downloaded for free and not making money? No. Do I think it can really be stopped? Not really. I don't stand on either side of the line.
But how do you like? Well, here's another question. Do you like the idea of Marvel having a subscription service? A and B, kind of like what the Writers Guild in Hollywood is going through. You know, people are paying to have a subscription service to view comics that you guys have helped create. Do you guys get paid by Marvel to have people pay to view your work?
I'm assuming not.
It's not really set up now. I mean, this thing is so baby new. If it lasts a year, I think you're going to start seeing creators sitting at tables talking about it. I mean,
going, hey, wait a minute.
We've seen a lot of things in comics. I mean, we've already seen this web stuff go, you know, digital. I mean, the digital comics thing isn't that brand new. This is Marvel's first attempt at.
Well, it's not even really their first attempt.
Their first attempt at doing a full-on paid subscription. They've done it before. Yeah, I mean,
reading comics online is nothing
new. No one's gotten it right.
But for them to offer a thing where you can actually – but the thing – I mean, to me, it's like, okay, you know, as we talked about before, I'm moving away from single issues completely. Mm-hmm. I'm going towards trades. But and it's hard for me because it's like I like to stay up to date on knowing what's going on with the books. And it's hard for me to wait 6 months to find out what happened and not get spoiled on something of something, big, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like, you know, if they offered a digital subscription service where I could read the books online, you know, certain books that I wanted, and then when the, you know, as they came out weekly, and then buy the trade when it comes out because I want to own that, and you know what I mean? I would – because, you know, it's like I don't know how many times I buy single issues of something and then a hardcover comes out or a trade and I buy that because I don't, you know, it's like, or I trade in the single issues to Mark here for the trade because I don't want the single issues.
Well, let me say this. I think that Marvel's digital thing with the thing where it's coming out 6 months in advance, I would assume that this is a system that is set up in their minds to be sold to the people who don't have podcasts, who don't live on message boards. Remember, the message board people that are, you know, where you're talking about like getting spoilers and like that, they are not the majority.
No.
I mean, I know because if I read a review and I see three people trash my book, my mind wants to tell me that it's 500 people.
Right.
In reality, it's three people posting 40 times. You know what I mean? Message board people are not the majority. So the majority of people,
those are the people that are going to read comics online.
No. See, that's the wrong way of thinking. There's still – the majority of people are not on message boards who buy comics. They're just not.
No, yeah, certainly.
So you got to take the people who don't live day-to-day checking every minute detail of any kind of comic book news. Those are going to be the kind of people that don't mind, oh, well, this is my new format. Just like me, right, with television shows. I have no idea what day any – I watch every television show on television, and I have no idea
but
I watch it all on DVD.
But what's – I mean, okay, say what's the advantage of reading them online 6 months later or buying the trade 6 months later.
Depends on their person. I mean, it's really just that at that point, it's just personal taste on what kind of format you like your entertainment delivered in, really, I guess.
Chris, right? You mentioned the Writers Guild strike. And mm-hmm. that, you know, I think that's an apt comparison because the Writers Guild didn't go on strike as soon as internet and DVDs hit.
Right.
They waited to see, is this really going to turn into anything or not? And I think that's the approach we have to take now. Let's give Marvel a chance to see if they can build a readership online. If they build a hell of a readership like Hollywood has with DVDs mm-hmm. and iTunes TV shows mm-hmm. and everything,
then it's gonna be on for our side.
Dude.
Yeah. Once the dog has the bone, it's real hard to get it away. Right. So isn't it – I mean, honestly, isn't now the time for writers and artists to – be proactive?
Well, that's a slippery slope because if you do,
and again, comic artists unfortunately are very hesitant to band together. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to get the guys with clout to stand up for the guys without clout. It's really tough. You know, every time people have tried in comics to establish a guild or get together to accomplish anything,
right.
It's really tough going.
And well, so we don't have a town, right? I mean, we don't have a Hollywood where we all centralize around where we can all get together.
Metropolis?
We can go to Gotham.
Does Chris have late breaking news?
Yes. What? Very much on topic. This is an email from Marvel Entertainment.
What?
They emailed us?
Dear Scotty.
Shut the fuck up on Around Comics.
To Mark. And not personally to Mark, but to
Dark Tower Comics.
Read the paper, man.
Hi, below is a quick retailer survey regarding Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited. Please send back all replies by Wednesday, blah, 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 blah. One, do you think posting the first issue of Dark Tower, The Gunslinger Born on Marvel.com for free and promoting it and the CSLS was beneficial? Two, are there any other digital comics that you would like to see posted to help drive traffic to your stores? Three, would you find it beneficial if your store was listed on a digital comic as a store to purchase that series or collection? Four, would you be interested in selling gift cards for subscriptions to digital comics? Five, do you think it is beneficial to post new comics, Wednesday release comics, each week? Six, do you think it is harmful to your sales for complete collections to be available at all times online?
And seven,
that's the problem. They send a poll out to the guys that are the least likely wanting them to do this, yet you know, the people that would actually be interested in buying the product, you know, it's like they don't listen to it all.
I don't know. It's a weird thing because all the other forms of entertainment, like Borders, right? Borders has always been teamed with Amazon, and now they're trying to slowly break away from Amazon and create Borders.com, their own website. So it's like you look at that and you're thinking, are they trying to shut down their own stores? Well, of course not, but they're also trying to make a lot of money in both. So what's their business plan? Like, what's their mind state? Like, it's like they're going at it with this positive mentality of –
growing.
We have a business plan to grow this business this huge online and in the retail stores. Where
in comics, it's we got to keep this. We got to keep this.
Well, yeah, everybody,
don't take that away from me.
And I wonder, and I don't know the answer to it, obviously, but I know there has to be some way to have both of them work to where they're beneficial, to everybody. Or like I said, all these other businesses.
I think they just need to go
work.
Need to go back to the old days and stop paying you guys pretty much slave labor. Yeah. No, just kidding.
Sweet.
Then we'll have to produce superior work.
Right, just to get it out. So,
should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot? In days of old anxiety, in days
I think back with the options of genres that the comic book offers, as we're sitting in the shop and we're kind of talking about, we brought up when we go into Best Buy to buy a movie. We walk in, and we're always going to walk out with something because they have every genre and they have equal amount of options for it all.
Yeah, anything. And it's going to be something you like.
You're going to find stuff that's established. You're going to find original stuff. You're going to find all different types of.
I'm not going to walk into Borders Books and not walk out with something.
Exactly. Let's say horror, for example. Last night I watched Halloween, and then it kind of got me into watching some other kind of original horror movies. And then I look over here, and I'm like, I would enjoy a big option of horror comics. But
you like
seems,
zombies.
It seems to be, yeah, I can get zombie books.
Vampires.
Or
you like zombie vampires.
Or, but not even just vampires. I have to get something that is doing a knockoff of a property already, like, you know,
30 Days a Night.
30 Days a Night was cool there, but I'm not, but
wait,
I
would you be interested in like Batman as a vampire?
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Wait, like you mentioned, 30 Days a Night, that's a good example. But I wish that we had an industry that was stuff where you could give me more than one,
right?
Because all the other horror movies, you got to give me. Let's see on the shelf, just right here: Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. Awesome. Supernatural from the CW hit TV series. Awesome. You know, everything else is just should we actually sit in a room and think of something, or let's just pay a little money to the movie and we'll just do.
It's just derivative of what's right. Come before it. It's,
yeah. So I can't walk in and go, man, I just watched a horror movie at home. I am so in the mood to read a horror comic. Wow, I have five options and one or two may be original. So if I don't happen to like those, which I can't be forced to like every comic that comes out. While people might love 30 Days a Night, I might not. I actually do, but I might not like that one. Would I like there to be 20 other options? Yes. Is there?
And no. What I said before, you know, off mic, one of the things I said was, you know, the problem is there are some of those things out there, but they're from the smaller publishers.
Right.
And, you know, because of the, you know, LCSs and mm-hmm. the direct market.
It's hard to find.
It's hard to find. You may not even know it exists. You mm-hmm. may not hear anything about it, or, you know. Or
well, it's because things are still geared towards the monthly comic, mm-hmm. and it comes down to the
exactly.
nuts. It comes down to the nuts and bolts of, you know what, we have to sell 10,000 copies of this monthly, or we can't sustain it.
Right.
And
I need to write a horror graphic novel, original graphic novel.
I'd love it,
just
man.
Convince me.
I'd read it in a heartbeat.
That's a genre I hadn't thought about.
I think it is a fun genre. I think artistically,
there's one for you right up there.
What's
up? A black hole.
Is it?
I think artistically,
it's called blankets. It's a horror.
It's got Jesus, scary Jesus.
I think the nature of illustration lends itself to, especially today with technologies and coloring and the printing that we have available to us today, I think horror comics above any have the real ability to be effective visually, unlike any time before.
You know how I cling to – me, I think the scariest comic I ever read was the Alan Moore Swamp Thing issue where the kid goes into the lake where there's mm-hmm. vampires living under the lake and they just drag the kids – holy shit.
Yeah.
And that's what – 18 years old or something, and I'm still clinging to that. Like, because that was the scariest comic I ever read.
I think I'd love the same one.
We get on, you know, we joke a lot, and I joke a lot, and we all joke a lot. Oh, Sky doesn't like comics, and blah blah blah.
I'm never joking about that.
Yeah, and I just want to be able to, I want to feel like I'm not forced to enjoy comics that I don't enjoy because they're the only ones, right? Like, well, Civil War has taken up all of Marvel this year, so I guess if I want to like comics, I got to like that one or that, or, you know what I mean? I want to be able to walk in and feel the
well, this year, Irredeemable Ant-Man was kind of a jokey joke book.
Right.
It was a kind of a humorous book.
Take us B-level Zubero, make him a smartass.
We did that the year before. Zeb and I did New Warriors, very similar to that, where we take B-level heroes that don't matter.
You know,
and of course, they do matter all of a sudden once we're joking with them.
The thing was like that, but we say that, you know, any time that you cut the pie down more than it is, whether it's, you know, into crime, because crime books are going to top out at about 40,000. I mean, top. Out at about 40,000.
If you're lucky.
Top.
And that's just a few.
Humor books, you know, a book like Maintenance is really funny, but there's just not that big of a market.
I want to go back to one of
the things. That's wrong. There is a market.
There's not a market within the pie.
We're marketing to the wrong market.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, I mean, if again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a scientist of money in business. So,
economist?
Yeah. I call it a scientist of that shit.
Scientist of money?
I'm creative, motherfucker.
Okay, sorry.
PhD. Wow. Scientist of money.
Yes, I am not Dr. Moneybags. I have a lot of it.
That's all you know.
That's all I know. I know how to spend that shit. But again, if we were to be able to switch up the format a little bit and make it a little bit more accessible to everybody's the natural way that we all take stories in, I think that you would be able to open up genres instead of I'm so tired of comic books being looked at as a genre. We are not a genre. Right. We are a medium.
Right.
We are not a fucking genre.
Well, and I've done. I know you. You've been trying three times.
I know. I was trying to get this out, but I'm going to forget. That's all.
I've done two original graphic novels at Oni Press.
And Union real Station. Quick, I love that on the Capote in Kansas, you put a drawn novel.
Yeah,
that is like fucking awesome.
Cool.
It is fucking awesome.
And one was true crime, historical fiction, gangster stuff, and it did okay for Oni Press, and they're trying to make a movie out of it. So I mean, it found an audience. Another is about the process of writing a novel, and you can't really judge it because movies came out that are like it, so we got a boost from that. But third printing, and I still go to libraries every month and talk to people about that. If you put stuff out there that's – it doesn't matter how undramatic it seems or how out of the ordinary it seems. If it's quality – and I'm not patting myself on the back. If it's decent – you'll find an audience. You're not maybe going to pay your bills on it, but you'll find an audience and you'll be able to tell your story to people who care about it.
Well, here's a funny story. I told my wife last night that, hey, Andy Parks is coming into town. He's going to sit in with us. So, Andy Parks, who is that? And I said, he inked Green Arrow. And she's like, he wrote Capote in Kansas. Oh, I like that. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's who it's going to be. So, I mean, that's showing that you have written something that is accessible to people that aren't going to read comics.
Right.
Maintenance, a book like Maintenance, I think that there would be a domino effect. That has an audience. The problem is we do
getting
the companies,
to that audience.
The companies decide before the book has had a chance to build an audience that it will not have an audience. Right? You know what I mean? It's a fucked up, backwards-ass motherfucking
3 months
system.
Before it even comes out,
yeah.
They figure, you know, they've said, oh, the orders aren't, you know, the pre-orders aren't there, so.
Right. I mean, how in the fuck do you not get to the end of an arc of a story, right? I mean, with the way we write comics, you don't even know the ending yet and a series can get canceled, right? How the fuck does that happen? What if you went to the movies and about 40 minutes into the movie, a guy came in and turned the projector off and told you to get out
because
enough people didn't show up in the theater. You have to fucking leave. This movie is no longer theaters ever.
Think of a movie like The Sixth Sense,
right?
Which is a decent movie, but really the buzz about it was the ending,
sure,
the huge twist ending. But if you never got to see that twist ending, you know, you'd never build an audience off of that movie. You know,
well, that was what built that. That happens a lot with like your Image books and your independent company book. It doesn't have. I mean, Marvel and them will cancel a book before it gets to the last issue of an arc. But at least you get to see the last issue of an arc. There have been many a book.
Oh, I'm still waiting for the end of the Winter Men.
Yeah,
that was a good book.
That wasn't canceled though.
How about Uncle Slam number 3?
Still about Fire Breather. The thing I wanted to go back to, we talked about last week a little bit, was we were talking about we had the email that asked us the advantages of comics over film.
Sure.
That kind of thing we talked about. You know, there's no budget.
Right.
You know, and that's sort of the thing that's depressing a lot of times as you see in comics is there's no restrictions.
Yeah.
The only restriction is how talented of a writer you are or how talented of an artist you have.
We can have the best cast.
Yeah.
The best special effects.
No budget.
Yeah.
No budget whatsoever.
Set pieces.
But how few times we see that really utilized, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Yeah. I mean, you know, the monthly schedule and everything we've talked about
the past. Pop-Tart ads,
but it's just that kind of thing.
Those damn hot dog ads.
You know,
Jesus.
But you see so much stuff that is just derivative of what's come before, and very few times do people just really break out of that box. And
here's the problem: if you're selling 7 million copies like you were in 1948. It's pretty easy to try some experiments and let Jack Cole go fucking nuts with Plastic Man. If you're selling 30,000 copies and you're chasing an extra 500 or 1,000, because if you're an editor, maybe that's going to keep you your job. it gets really hard to make those tough choices and say, I'm going to hire this fucknuts over here because he's crazy and he'll do crazy shit with this thing and it may be really great. That gets to be a really tough choice to make if you're constantly chasing those.
I've been on the shit end of that stick many times. Not because of how crazy awesome I am, but because I... Because
you are the fucknut.
Well, I am the fucknut that will... I am the guy who will get in there and, for better or for worse, fuck with it.
Right.
And it, see what happens. You know what I mean? And it fails sometimes and it succeeds sometimes.
But that's part of the problem is because of part of the... I mean, it's the most screwed up publishing industry in the world. I mean, you look at a book publisher, any book publisher, things don't work that way. I mean,
they almost probably think, and again, just guess, let's hope that this novel gets its audience in the next 2 years.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right? And they've already paid, the author generally, you know what I mean, long before the thing's ever published.
With comic books, I haven't even finished drawing the page by the time – drawing the book by the time it's solicited, and then a month after that, they've decided whether or not it succeeded or not.
Right.
Well, and they're done, or they're going.
It's a happy accident to get an evergreen product, something like V for Vendetta, or you know, we look Capote in Kansas. That is an evergreen product. It's going to stay on shelves, and it's not planned that way. Those are happy accidents. I think it's moving that way. You look at what Top Shelf puts out, and you know they're making hopefully what will be evergreen products. And it's just that is not the mainstream. Therefore, we as mostly mainstream comic fans, it is just such a big red flag. So,
well, we didn't really talk about comics.
We solved comics,
but we solved it
in 2008. If motherfucking dumb shits will listen to us,
listen, goddamn,
it's all fixed. We'll all be millionaires, even fans.
We didn't. We certainly didn't do what we planned to do on this episode, but I think it turned out for the best. Anyway.
We did talk about comics, but it was funny because we've never in all the shows actually went, hey, what did you read this year? Like, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that. We didn't talk about the actual books that we liked.
Right. What did you like about comics? Well, I hated the fact that they don't come out.
that's I liked them for what they should have been and could have. It's like a romantic comedy all of a sudden.
Well, hey, looking forward to 2008. It's first of all, Scott, I don't know if you're able to talk about anything yet.
I don't really know.
You've got some long-reaching project.
I have my hands in so much greatness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The project I'm working on that I was supposed to announce in the summer – it's really partially my fault because I've just been designing this stuff and which is great. Marvel's been fantastic. They've given me as much time as I want and basically opened my schedule up to just, well, we'll start it when you're ready and then we'll go. And for the new project, it's going to be, I will say it'll be 8 issues.
Genius.
It is fucking genius. Not really. It's going to be a lot of fucking fun. And I think, I am looking forward to it, but then hopefully by the end of the year I'll have my graphic novel ready to roll. Other than that, I don't know. Not a whole lot of things. I think I'm doing
covers. Some covers.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I got a couple more cover gigs lined up because Cable Deadpool ended. That the book's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a couple more books that I'm going to start doing covers for. I can't say what they are yet. And then I can't say what they are yet because I don't know what they are yet. But. And then I'm going to be doing like a couple shorts, like X-Men specials where I get to write and draw some more stuff. They're going to allow me to do a little bit more writing over at Marvel. So
nice.
I'm excited. I'm really excited about that.
Well, Mr. Parks, this past year you worked on Irredeemable Ant-Man, and you've got what else have you worked on this year?
I guess it won't come out till 08, but Phil and I have been working on this Superman Confidential arc. So that's mm-hmm. – Ooh, one of your favorite things is Segway.
So what do we have this year? I like chili.
What do we have to look forward to in 2008, good sir?
So on the art side, I'll be inking the lovely Phil Hester on a Superman Confidential three-part arc written by our good buddy B. Claymore.
Yay!
And it's a charming, great story about kind of the roots of the Superman Jimmy Olsen relationship. It's fun.
Cool.
And Clay's great to work with because he keeps the story zipping along and he gives you great shit to draw, which is fun.
And if you don't like it, you can go over to his house and beat him.
Yes, sir.
Sweet.
Like beatings.
And then we're supposed to be working on I don't know if I can say title or – yeah, I think it's been out there. Jai's done interviews. So we're working on an El Diablo six-part mini-series – with our buddy Jai Nitz, who's a Lawrence, Kansas native.
Do you guys just stay in Kansas? You can't work with anybody outside.
Snobby motherfucker, what's going on over there?
When are you going to move Hester down to Kansas?
Here's the thing. Yeah. Hester's too big a pussy to hit anybody up for work. And so I'm the one who goes out begging, and I beg at my local poker games and my barbecues. So that's what happened. And then on the writing, I'm really excited about writing because I have Blood Red, which has been announced for so long. But we're going back to like
2004.
Don't announce it, man.
No, not that bad.
See, you shouldn't have announced
it.
You were handing out postcards like, for that 2 years ago.
I don't know, close to a third of it done. So we're working on that. I've got another Oni original graphic novel that I've been developing with the Russo brothers, who are Hollywood director guys. They worked on Arrested Development. They made Yumi and Dupree. And really good guys. And they had this... Basically, they had an idea for a story, and they came to Oni and said, do you want to develop this with us? And the Oni approached me, so I'm working with them. And it's right up my alley. It's kind of a research.
Does it take place in Kansas?
No, South America. But a lot of research, and that's going to be really cool and fun. And then another Daredevil annual that I'm just starting to write and working on another couple things that are – so I'm hopefully –
unannounceable.
Right, but hopefully a lot more writing. I've been feeling like a real fucking slacker since Capote, so hopefully there'll be a lot of writing stuff in 08.
Any chance of a Capote sequel?
No.
the drinking years.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't they ask Capote that after In Cold Blood?
Yes.
Yeah, they did actually. That.
Capote 2, the cocaine era.
There you go.
Nice. Well, you know, it's really been a lot of fun to have you on, so we're definitely looking forward to what you have coming up in the next year. So, you know, you always have a warm chair here.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And like I said, you guys kept me company on a lot of deadline stressed nights, so I appreciate it. Hey, before we go, what's the gentleman who gave us the list?
Braxton.
I think Braxton is a very swell person.
Braxton will thank you, buddy.
I just want to say, if he's a fan of Andy Parks in particular, I'm sure the Around Comics gentleman could give him my address. And if a big package full of airplane booze showed up, I wouldn't be offended.
Well, Braxton does go to conventions now. I think
he's a pretty nice guy.
You going to Heroes?
His wife
this
is
year?
Hot.
No, L.A. or I mean San Diego and Chicago probably again.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to go finish my fifth airplane bottle.
All right. Well, that will wrap up our loose 2007
good,
review.
Goodbye, 2007.
New Year's, it's our New Year's. Yeah.
Yeah. New Year's. Goodbye.
Fuck you, 2007.
Fuck you, 07.
Bring it on, 08.
08 kicks ass.
See what you got, 08.
2007, so last year. All right. Well, one thing that that won't change from last year to this year is that you can still become a friend of the program.
Go to aroundcomics.com where you can download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer, ask your comic shop manager while they exist, or owner if they will display it in the store. If they do, send us an email and we'll mention you in the store on the show as well as post it on our site.
Put the bat down, Mark.
Become a friend of the program today.
Wow.
Can I just say, I'm going to do a shot to something I miss on the show. When you used to always say, be as cool as Andy Parks.
Oh, that's right.
That
was the iTunes.
We've changed that a while. Now it's much more dirty sexual innuendos to how hard on his cock he gets.
Well,
is that what we're on now?
We've got some new ones. We'll catch
up. We're
going
to do a throwback.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you want to be as cool as Andy Parks and give Chris a handjob under the table, you can go to iTunes and leave a review.
Wasn't aware we were talking about that.
Andy, like,
Andy has very soft hands.
Like who? Who do we got? Who we got to thank for iTunes?
We got some. We'll catch up.
We'll thank you next week.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Remember that this episode of Around Comics has been sponsored by InStockTrades.com, and they are offering this month's reading selection, We Three, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 35% off the cover
price.
Why
are you in my spot?
You can get your copy today for only $8.44.
Well, here, you
no, forget it.
Okay.
I don't want to touch it now.
Drink up.
InStockTrades.com
offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices.
That's
and remember that all orders over $50 ship for free.
Read the thing that says Tom.
You're old. This is good for
airplane
you.
Airplane bottles are good for you. Donate to the Hero Initiative.
Do I have to read it in like a smart-ass Tom high pitch?
He's usually pretty drunk and angry by now, okay. So just do it however you are right now.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators, like Andy Parks will soon be.
If the scrapping novel thing works out.
Who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work.
Any more airplane bottles, he's going to need some emergency medical aid.
It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org. Or call 310-909-7809.
Absolutely. Month of Heroes, very successful. I want to thank everyone. We had a blast putting it together.
Chris, the end is clearly labeled Sal.
Oh, no, he just forgot to change that. When he's not here, I read it.
Yes. I took some time off in December.
A lot.
Well, I would certainly like to thank Mr. Andy Parks for driving all the way up from Kansas City just to see us.
Just for us.
Nothing but a pleasure.
Kansas City, Missouri. Mr. Scotty Young, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, sir.
Scott or Sal, I hope that this is a year that you don't throttle me by the neck.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. I can't make any promises.
We're going to have Survivor, Around Comics Survivor.
Around Comics. Yeah, we're going to go to that.
I'm bricking every one of you motherfuckers in the head. It's on.
Coming packing.
Natalie, thank you for dropping by.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, everyone out there, I hope you've gotten off to a great start to your 2008. We're looking forward to hopefully a great year in comics, and we will do the year-end review in about 12
keep
months.
Keep downloading them. We're heading towards 1 million downloads.
Ooh. Hey, next week's the club, by the way.
Yes.
Next week is the club.
Next episode. Yes. Next episode is
God
the club.
Damn, I got to figure out my picks.
So read, listen, and watch. Also, come back on Monday. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Jay Ferber is going to be on the show.
Yes.
So,
no. Is he?
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be talking Noble Causes and Dynamo 5 and all that good stuff.
Goodness.
So, all right, folks. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year. Come back on Monday. In the meantime,
between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Bye, people.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know.